Nice to be with you on this particular day. We are also broadcasting not only here in Perth, but the program will be rebroadcast right across Australia. And, of course, it's good to be with you all this morning. And we're touching on meningococcal and what it is. And we'll find out a little bit more about it. And once we find out a little bit more about it, we begin to know about it a little bit more. And we'll have the experts coming into the studios to talk about this particular issue and the issue of meningococcal. And this is Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM. It's a very good afternoon to our, or I should say good morning to our guest right here at Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM. And Stacey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
The only reason why you're closer to that mic, yeah, good to be with you. Just getting the mic organised. Yep. How's that? Yeah. And also, of course, Donna, you've been in the studio before as well.
Yes.
Nice to be with you.
Hi, how are you, Jeremy?
Yeah. And Barry.
Yeah, good morning, Jeremy.
You're sounding pretty well clear, so that's really good. So, yeah, and on the subject of, and this is the program called Health Matters, which is, as I said, rebroadcasted right across Australia as well. And health matter, it does matter when it comes to meningococcal. And I suppose the first person I'd like to make welcome to talk about that aspect is Donna. Tell me a little bit about what meningococcal is out there in the community and what are some of the things we need to be aware of?
Okay, so meningococcal infection is a bacteria and it can cause a very serious infection.
Yeah.
So usually it might start off with a fever or a cough or a sore throat, but then it can spread through the bloodstream and get into the brain and into the blood and cause a very serious infection. It can affect people of all ages, and sometimes they're not very sick to start off with, so you might just think, oh, you know, it's got a bit of a cold or a bit of a flu. It can also have a rash, so that sort of very typical purple bruising type rash where if you press on it, it doesn't go white, it just stays purple.
Yeah.
That's quite typical of meningococcal infection. But I think the important thing for people to remember is that, you know, if you are sick with a fever or a cough or a rash or severe headache, can't tolerate the light in your eyes, you should actually go and see your doctor because it's very quick, can happen very quickly. So there's no time to lose.
So give us a time frame as to when you see a particular rash.
It's very variable, Jeremy, and I think that's why it can be quite dangerous. So sometimes, you know, people will be fine, you know, and they get up in the morning and then a few hours later they could be very, very seriously ill.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens slower than that. So it's important for people to realise if things aren't right, then they've got to go and see a doctor. And this is especially the case if it's a young child because they can go downhill much quicker than a bigger person.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing to remember is that this is a infection that we have vaccine for, so we can actually protect our children and our young people, our old people and our whole community by getting people vaccinated.
Yeah. And Stacey, the community, the Aboriginal community, what are some of the things they could be aware of, and what are you doing when it comes to educating that?
So like Donna said, the signs and symptoms, just be mindful of those. And the most important thing is get vaccinated. So there's different strands of meningococcal. So our babies get vaccinated against a certain strand. But the common one that's happening with our teens, that's the vaccination we're trying to push at the moment. So that's for the 15 to 19 year olds. So they don't get given that as babies. So it's really important that all the 15 to 19 year olds do go get that vaccination, especially if they haven't had it at school.
And when it comes to vaccinations, do they have a sort of vaccination record book, or would that be on hand?
So if they can't remember, if they've lost their book, or you can't remember if you've had it or what you had at school, you can actually go to your GP or the AMS or wherever you want to go, and they can check online on a service called AIRS, the Australian Immunisation Register, and they'll be able to check to see what you've had and what you're due. So if you're not sure, just double check.
Yeah, and the age factor as well, is it different to the younger people compared to the teenagers? Do they, you know, when there's symptoms? Are the, it's the same? Or?
Same symptoms, yeah. But like Donna said, the teens probably will have a bit more leeway. The kids do drop down pretty quickly. So the teens, again, do present similar ways, but yeah, you just need to be mindful of those symptoms.
And, of course, Barry Young, welcome to the studio, the program here. And, Barry, tell us about some of the, of your experience.
Yeah, well, we found out about meningococcal. It was a very bitter experience back in 1997 when our daughter, who was 18-year-old, fit, healthy, young person, virtually never had a sick day in her life. She went over to a rowing, university rowing regatta in Penrith, came back, and first thing that we noticed was that she was a bit tired and lethargic, which was unusual for her because she's just so fit and healthy. And she rode in the state championship on the Saturday afternoon, and she came home, and she had a bit of muscle pain. And I said, oh, you must have hurt your leg when you were rowing and so forth. And then next thing, she went inside and she was, even though she started to get a fever, she got very cold, and she sat in front of a heater and put a rug on and trying to get warm, and she was shivering. So Lorraine, who was a nurse, saw that there was something radically wrong and said, I think we should take you to hospital. And we took her to the hospital and mentioned that in the eastern states there had been some meningococcal cases.
Right.
Unfortunately, the doctor concentrated on meningitis, and he did a spinal tap and came up and said, you're lucky she's clear, she hasn't got meningitis, and everything's okay. But and he diagnosed her as being dehydrated. And during the night she just got worse, and then in the morning when the purple rash came out, they then treated her with antibiotics, which unfortunately was 12 hours too late, and she died on the Sunday afternoon.
So
it's it was a bitter experience, and since then we've learned a lot about meningococcal, and my advice to parents is to mothers is to trust your instinct. Mothers who've got their kids 24 hours a day, they know when there's something radically wrong, and don't be frightened to ask and say, well, she's unwell, which does she have meningococcal? In probability they won't, but it's something that needs to be considered. Because it just escalates so quickly. It's frightening. Donna said earlier, you can sort of be well at breakfast and dead at dinner. So it's just so important. Yeah. And particularly, it's so relevant to people in remote areas, how do they get medical treatment quickly? So the best answer is vaccination.
Yeah. And Donna, when it comes to that situation, it's the importance of that is understanding what's happening, and sometimes you can't just do something very quickly, but to understand the situation, that meningococcal is different to meningitis as well.
So meningococcal infection can cause meningitis. And so people sometimes can present with the severe headache, and they can't tolerate the light in their eyes and have a stiff neck. But it doesn't always present as meningitis. It can present in very many different ways.
Forms,
sometimes it's with a sore joint or sore muscles. Sometimes it's with a cough. Sometimes it's with the rash, sometimes it's without the rash, and it's can be quite tricky. But I think the main thing, as Barry said, is that as a parent, if you know that your child isn't behaving right and they're not doing the things that they normally do, then with meningococcal you don't have any time to spare. You need to get them to see the doctor. And that's why the vaccination is so important, because even with the best will in the world and the best medical technologies, this is a very serious and rapidly progressing infection, and there are some things that, you know, medical science just doesn't have the capability of always pulling back from when a person's got it. So prevention really is number one, and we've got some very good vaccines against meningococcal disease, and yes, I would be urging parents to get their children protected that way.
Yeah, and of course, Barry, from experience, really important, isn't it?
Vaccines are crucial. Actually, in the West Australian last Saturday, there was a very nice article about a woman who survived meningococcal, and she said the ACWY vaccine is the best Christmas present that you can give your kids.
That's a nice way to put it, isn't it? And it is, isn't it, when you
exactly.
think of that? Yeah. And of course, we'll go to a break at the moment, and then let's resume Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio. You're listening to Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, broadcasting right here in Perth, but this program is heard right across Australia on the Packham Radio Network, and the program here is Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio, and I'm Jeremy Garland, and I'd like to welcome our studio guests here in the studio, and that's Donna Mack, who is a physician working with the WA Health Department. And also Stacey, who's, you're from the Aboriginal,
Yep, the Aboriginal Health Council of WA. Can't read your own writing, Jeremy.
No, yeah, that's what it was. And of course, Barry Young. And, Barry, nice to have you on the program as well. And on the subject of education, it is something that we need to talk about and to have this conversation when it comes to the educational process and putting this message out into the community. One thing happens with young people. We all think, I'm not young, but young people think they're invincible. And how do we get that message across? And what are the most important thing we need to talk to our teens? Because teens are out in the community and they can say, well, it doesn't affect me, you know. Mm. It's only someone else's situation.
Yeah. Okay, so with the teens, the reason why this vaccine campaign is targeted at the 15 to 19 year olds is because we've found that the teens are the highest carriers of the meningococcal bacteria.
Yeah.
So they might not be getting sick or have the symptoms, but they may actually be carrying the sort of the bacteria with them. So
yeah.
By getting vaccinated, they're not only protecting themselves, but they're protecting their community as well, especially the little ones and the people that are more susceptible to actually getting the bacteria and getting sick and potentially life-threatening. So, so education. So really, it's really important to get vaccinated. And like I said earlier, if you're not sure if you have had it at school or if you don't go to school anymore, go into the AMS and do ask for it, or your GP, wherever you want to go. It is free vaccine, so there won't be any charge to you.
Yeah. And what about education to either schools places, I suppose the Aboriginal Medical Service has educational programs, from what I understand, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So there has been a school campaign as well. So like I said, the vaccine has been offered for all the teens 15 to 19 that are at school. That's only till the end of this year. Next year it's just for the year 10s that will be offered to free. So get in while you can while it's still free to protect yourself and your community.
Yeah. And have I got a doctor here?
And it's also been offered in all the universities through the medical centres there. So if you are a young person who goes to university, or if you're a parent of a young person who goes to university, you know, make sure they go to that university's medical centre and they can get the vaccination for free there.
Yeah. So that's a good thing, because it is free to that particular age group?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it's free for the 15 to 19 year olds, and we know that they're a group that often don't go and see the doctor. So I think it's really important for parents and grandparents or aunts and uncles to get onto these teens and to you know, make them go, because they wouldn't normally go. They don't think about these things most of the time.
Yeah. And at the Aboriginal Health Council of WA, Stacey, the importance to put this message across, not only for just the teenagers as we're looking at, but as the extended process of extended Aboriginal families, which is part of our sort of matriarch, I suppose.
Yeah, that's exactly matrix, right. Yeah. So we're really trying to push it in all the AMSs across the state. So for that exact reason, just to protect the families and the community as a whole.
Yeah, and what would you tell some of the younger ones now that are listening into Noongar Radio?
It doesn't hurt. Be brave and go and get it.
Yeah, roll your sleeve up and take your... it's just like a mosquito bite.
Yeah. It's an amazing situation, Barry, talking with Barry Young here, and to learn from an experiential process like what you've gone through. Yeah. There's so much learning, isn't there?
It certainly is. It's a hard way to learn, but I guess we've accepted it as a challenge.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how much we've learnt, and we've had a few wins too. It's just nice to get a message down the track that from someone who says, that information that you pumped out was the reason that I got a second opinion, or I went and got presented for treatment, and I got early treatment, and I got a good result.
And that's
the key to it. If you're not vaccinated, but so the vaccination is number one, but if you're not vaccinated, it's just so important that you get early treatment.
Yeah. It sounds as if what you're telling me is that you're actually paying forward something here in your personal journey and the personal process to be able to assist other people. How have you done that?
Well, when the foundation started back in 1998, our prime aim was to make meningococcal a lot more aware amongst not only the community at large but also the medical profession. We felt that there was some work to do there, because one of the problems with it, such a rare disease that, we've spoken to some GPs and they've said, in their whole career they've never seen a case. So, that's why it makes it so difficult for the diagnosis.
Yeah.
So that was our main aim, to really get the message across that, hey, listen, meningococcal's here. It's a nasty, quick-acting thing. And hopefully everyone will know the symptoms. And also we were very, very keen to get the message out to tell people the difference between sepsis and meningitis. Quite often when you see the symptoms, there's the emphasis on headache and stiff neck, and I'm sure that, meningitis is not nice, but there's something a lot worse, which is the sepsis from the blood poisoning.
Yeah.
So, that was our main aim, to concentrate on that, and then also we got a program where we have a young leaders program.
Yeah.
And also we do fund research. We've got over the last 12 years, we've had 4 PhD scholarships awarded down at UWA, and people there doing relevant research. And some of the research they've done has actually been very good, because it's identified the various strains. The samples were in the Path West, and the PhD students got out and checked them all out. So that's why there's really good information in Western Australia about the various strains of the disease, and that's how I think that this W strain was picked up so early.
And the foundation is the Amanda Young Foundation.
Amanda Young Foundation, yeah. And as I said, we also very proud of our young leaders. We have a residential for 40 year 11 students each year.
Yeah.
And that goes over well, and also we have a survivors program, and it's good that, when people who survive, some of them go have a nasty experience. I mean, in Western Australia, there's 6 young people who are quadruple amputees.
Yeah.
So, which, imagine what a shock that is to the system.
Exactly.
And we provide moral support for them. And, people who've got the symptoms, they can talk to each other and say, I'm lethargic, and, I'm tired and so forth. And other survivors say, yeah, that's So am I. So that sort of helps them cope with the aftermath of the disease.
And what sort of reception are you getting in the medical community at the moment?
Yeah, medical the infectious disease specialists in WA are fantastic. They've people like Dr. Clay Gollidge, Dr. Ronan Murray, Steve Webb. They've been fantastic supporters of ours from day one. Dr. Tony Keel, he's another one. So, they've been absolutely good. And now in more recent times, the health department have come on board and Dr. Paul Effler is, you know, he's a breath of fresh air there, and he's absolutely fantastic. And they're really proactive now. You know, in 20 years ago, the health department were reactive and sort of, you know, if something happened, they said, oh, it's not my fault. But, you know, this, what happened in the goldfields last year when they realised there was a problem with the W strain, and they did a max vaccination program, which was great, and now it's going out to all the Aboriginal communities in the remote areas, and that's fantastic. That's really going to nip it in the bud. We cannot speak too highly of cooperation that we get from both the medical profession and currently the health department.
We're speaking with Barry Young right here at Noongar Radio, and it's nice to hear a personal experience, Donna. And Stacey, when you hear a personal experience, it's it sort of gets to you to the heart of the situation that's happening within our community as well. How important are these foundations within our community, and did it change your viewpoints as well?
I think that it's very, very important to never lose sight of the fact that any disease has very personal consequences for the person who gets it. And, you know, statistics are one thing, but the actual personal experience of someone who's had the disease or their family is really critical. And, you know, that's what we're really all here about. To help, you know, individual people. So I think it's important that people's stories are heard. And I think foundations such as the Amanda Young Foundation, you know, Light for Riley, you know, if we're talking about whooping cough, these foundations have had a huge impact in terms of raising public awareness, because people, you know, out on the street, I think, relate far better to someone like Barry rather than, you know, a nameless, you know, faceless health department official. And they also have a huge impact on politicians in terms of persuading politicians to do the right thing.
And you have done that, from what I understand.
We're working on that.
And because we're talking about the educational process, which is we still sort of miss the mark at times, and it's because of our, we think particularly young teens too as well, they think they're invincible. And the same thing with, I suppose, with all of us. And we don't anticipate anything happening, you see. When it came to your daughter as well, we didn't...
Last thing on our mind, here's a healthy young person who's at university, prime of her life, loving life, you know, doing well with her studies, loves her sport, got the world at her feet. All of a sudden, that's just taken away. It's just too difficult to contemplate, really.
And again, Stacey, the importance as well when it comes to an educational process, which we're talking about, as well as sort of making this message to our young people, the importance. Now, they could be going to school. They could be at high school, and even the younger ones as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's really important that we have Barry here as well with us, because it does show that, I'm sure Barry and Lorraine didn't think that that would ever happen to them. Just like young people might think that, you know, they'll be fine, or the parents of the young people might think, you know, I'll be fine, the kids are fine. And Barry and Lorraine probably thought the same thing. But unfortunately, these things do happen, and it's just a pick of the bunch. You never know who it's going to be. Amanda was fit and young and healthy, and unfortunately it still happened to her. So vaccinating and getting that message across to vaccinate, to both get the parents to get their children vaccinated, or the children just to go, or the 15 to 19 year olds to initiate that process as well, is really important.
Yeah. And Dr. Donna Mark, now when it comes to any illness, it's a timeline, isn't it? You're working with.
You know, you've got a timeline to work with, but the trouble with meningococcal infection is that timeline can be incredibly short.
That's right.
And it's also incredibly unpredictable. So this is why the vaccination is so important, because if you can prevent it, you are in a much better position than if you get the illness and then you've got to play catch-up. Okay. And sometimes you can't play the catch-up. Yeah. It just doesn't work, you know. Mm-hmm. We... We've come a long way with medicine, but there are still things that beat us, and meningococcal disease is one of them.
Yeah, yeah. As a case is being presented to you as a physician, what's the first thing you do? And you'd look at the symptoms, no doubt.
Yes, you look at the symptoms and you listen to the person's story or the parent's story. Mm. And you just have to have, I think, a very high index of suspicion of thinking, well, you know, say you're in a general practice and someone comes to you.
You sort of tick all the boxes.
Yeah, and you think, if this could be it, then I need to get the antibiotics into that child straight away and send them to hospital.
Yeah.
And you just don't have time to play around.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a balancing act, because you can't do that for everyone who comes in. If you did that for everyone who came in with a bit of a cold or a sore throat or a fever, you would be putting so many children unnecessarily on antibiotics. So you can do the best you can do, but, you know, I think we're not going to be able to prevent all the cases unless we can get everyone immunised.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what we're looking to achieve. But, you know, with our young people, the 15 to 19-year-olds, you know, we're nowhere near the 100% immunisation uptake. Even though we've been plugging it at schools, so it started in school term 2, and we've been plugging it at universities, but you know, if you're age 15 to 19 and you're listening out there, or if you're a mum or dad or aunt or uncle or, grandma of a 15 to 19-year-old, go and hound them and tell them.
You need
to have this vaccine.
Yeah.
And it's really good now because we've got that Australian Immunisation Register. So you go along to any AMS or general practice clinic, they can look up that young person's name. And if they haven't had it, they can give them that vaccine and then.
It's
so easy.
Yeah. And, of course, the conversations. Talking to Barry, the conversation that you'd have with a parent, because, of course, the kids, the young ones need a guardian to assist in some way. How important is that conversation?
I think that if you have got a young person who needs your help to have the vaccine, then yes, you need to have that conversation with them, because they don't feel vulnerable at all,
That's right.
They're bulletproof. You might also have a young person who says, actually, I want the vaccine, in which case we will vaccinate that young person because, between the ages of 15 and 19, they are capable of giving consent for vaccination. And so I would say to any 15 to 19-year-old, if you really want to have that vaccine but you're not getting the support that you need from your family, then you just be strong and you go off to the AMS or your GP and you go and get it for yourself and do that for yourself.
And, Stacey, that would be the same message that you'd preach to the community as well, because getting in contact with the community and having the conversation is important.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. You're listening to Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM. This is Health Matters right here. And, of course, we have Mr. Barry Young, who's in the studio about the Amanda Young Foundation, and Stacey Burrows from the Aboriginal Health Council of Western Australia. And our good doctor here who is in the studio, Donna Mack here is from the health department, who's here in the studio to talk to us about and also some of the medical situations that are occurring within our community as well. And meningococcal is one of the subjects we're touching on here, and very dear to Barry Young, who's in the studio at the moment. And your foundation and the foundation that you've created, or more so Amanda Young's foundation, some of the educational processes and education that's going out in the community is so much a need and a must, I should say, within the community.
Yes, Jeremy, one of our favourite projects is an annual, we call it Kitty Canter, provides information to parents, and also we go to kindergartens and preschool. We have a booklet which tells children how to maintain good hygiene practices, like washing their hands and not to share drinks and so forth. And some of the feedback's been very good that after the project there, they have to sing Happy Birthday when they're washing their hands and so forth. And the teacher says it takes them twice as long to wash their hands as it did. So that's a good indication that that the project's working. It's specifically designed for 4, 5, 6 year olds, and it's a non-threatening matter, and as a result, they get the general hygiene message, and they tell mum when they're getting picked up from school, hey, listen, I've got to make sure I wash my hands and so forth. And then we have the fridge magnets and their brochures going home to the parents, and that tells them what the signs and symptoms of meningococcal is, and to make sure that they get early treatment. And we're very lucky. Telethon gives us a grant each year, and last year we had, this year I should say, we had 450 centres on board, and we're looking to get that up 600 or 700 this year. So it's a good popular program and well accepted.
Yeah, and of course you're receiving a lot of people. You know, I suppose in a sense the gratitude that people and some personal experiences, I gather, through the journey.
Yeah, there has been quite a few, which I guess, you know, anyone who's survived, they know how serious it was, and it was, you know, really is a matter of life and death. I'm not exaggerating by saying that. And if they've got the right knowledge and they get early treatment and get a good result, well, consider themselves exceptionally lucky. But as we say again, cut out that luck and get vaccinated.
Dr. Donna Mack from the Department of Health, a big diverse area of coverage here, and the importance of that coverage to even younger people as well is pretty important, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, we've got people all across the state. And so, you know, all the way from as north far north as Kununurra, you know, down through to Esperance and, you know, and through the Kalgoorlie and the Goldfields. And then, of course, our Noongar people, you know, who are living in Perth and the southwest of the state. And, you know, it's important for everyone that they realise what meningococcal infection is, you know, what sort of symptoms to look out for, and to get vaccinated. You know, the main thing is prevention. It's just such a serious disease, and you don't want to be, you know, taking that risk into your hands that, well, if I get it, I might recognise it. If I might recognise it, my doctor might recognise it, and I might get treatment in time. Too many mites. We can vaccinate, so we vaccinate babies against meningococcal C at the moment, so that's a free vaccine for our babies. And then for the 15 to 19 year olds, you know, they can get the vaccine against meningococcal A, C, W and Y. It's free. It's a really good Christmas present, you know, people, because it's free, you know. You don't even have to buy it.
Just take the needle a little bit.
Until the end of this year, you know, it'll be available for the 15 to 19-year-olds, but as of next year, it will, you know, be a school-based program only. So once you've left school, if you want to get it, you'll need to pay for it. Well, why not get it now? Well, you can get it for free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stacey Burrows from the Aboriginal Health Council of WA, what would you say to people out there in the community? And I suppose there's another question I'd like to ask. You know, what if people are listening here in the remote communities too? Because we're broadcasting right across Australia here.
Yep, so hopefully everyone's had their vaccine. If not, especially if you're 15 to 19, go and get it. It's free. It's very quick and easy. And you might even get a little lollipop while you're there too.
Well, that's even a good incentive, isn't it, as well?
And, you know, all the clinics across WA, doesn't matter how remote you are, you can get the vaccine for free. And especially in a remote area clinic where the nurse and the health worker, they will know you as soon as you walk in the door. even if you're visiting, you know, so we often have people who are visiting from other communities or visiting from interstate. That's fine. Just walk into the clinic, you know, talk to the nurse or doctor or health worker and say, you know, I want to have my vaccine. And, you know, they'll greet you with open arms because we love it when people ask for vaccines.
Yeah. And the lollipop too.
Yeah.
Okay, and of course, another question, these questions just keep coming out all the time because of the fact of if I'm living in a remote community, there is a health worker that I need to get in contact with as well. It's an important thing, and you mentioned a timeline too as well, the importance of a timeline. What happens if you live in a remote community in that way? Stacey?
So if you do think you are, well, you know, if you do have the symptoms and you think you are unwell, obviously go to the clinic straight away. And if they think you've got the symptoms too, then the RFDS will be called out straight away and you'll be flown to the nearest town. But sometimes, unfortunately, some of these communities are quite far out from these towns, so it can be too late. So that's why we're really trying to push this vaccine, especially in the rural and remote areas, because like both Donna and Barry have been saying, you don't have much time to play with. It is very serious.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at some of the symptoms. We've only got a couple of minutes to go before the end of the program. But, Donna, what are some of the symptoms again? Let's tell the people some of these things that we need to look for. I know we can overemphasize it, and I think it's important to overemphasize this because there are people that are listening in or just picked up this particular program now and said, oh, I'm listening into this. Tell us about some of the things that we need to look for. To our community and the wider community as well.
So I think that the main thing to look for is when someone, that they are just not behaving in the normal way that they behave. And this is especially important for young children because, you know, they might not be able to speak because they're too young to speak or perhaps they're too sick to speak. But as a parent, you know your own child. And if your child is, is sick, you will know. So for young children, you know, they might have a fever, they might just be off their food, might have a bit of a cough, might be complaining of aches or pains around their head or, you know, around their joints. But if you just don't think that they're right and if they aren't behaving in the right way that you think that's normal for them, that's a really important sign to pick up on. And if you take them to see, you know, a doctor or a nurse or a health worker and, you know, they brush you off, or if you don't think they're taking it seriously enough, then I think, you know, you need to be assertive and you need to say, look, I really don't think my child is, you know, is well, and, you know, could you please have a look again? You know, I'm not saying to be argumentative, but, you know, just to ask again in an assertive but polite way. And if you really don't think that you're getting the attention that you need, then as much as you can, you should seek out a second opinion. So I think it's probably easier for people living in the metropolitan area or a big regional centre because they could always take their child to the emergency department of their local hospital. Probably harder if you're living in a remote area. But still, I think, you know, one can be assertive and say, look, you know, my child really, you know, isn't right. I think there's something wrong. I might not be able to put my finger on it. And, you know, given what's happening with meningococcal disease around Australia at the moment, most doctors are much more aware about it than, you know, what they have been in the past. And they don't want anything bad to happen to their patients. It might just be a matter of saying, well, oh, you know, did you realise that this is happening? Or, you know, you saw, you know, little, you know, Joey a few hours ago, but now, you know, he or she's like this, not getting any better.
And, and of course, Stacey Burrows from the Aboriginal Health Council of WA, what sort of, two remote communities. I know we can overemphasise this as much as possible and to sort of break down all those barriers too, because some of the communities, people don't want to go to a doctor and, you know, Aboriginal people particularly who will sort of need to sort of become forthright and assertive when it comes to some of these things.
Yeah, that's right. And like we've been saying, it does, meningococcal unfortunately does deteriorate. You do deteriorate quite quickly. So as soon as, you know, Barb or yourself are not feeling that well, it is really important to seek medical attention. Even if it is just a cold or a flu, And don't feel embarrassed. At least you've gone to the doctor. That's the main thing, to get checked out. You'd rather be safe than sorry.
Exactly. And Barry Young from the, of course, Amanda Young Foundation. What point would you like to raise?
Well, our slogan is be aware, be alert, be assertive. Every minute counts.
Exactly. And you have a website, which is
www.amandayoungfoundation.org.
And do you have a phone number there? 9398.
That's our home number,
No worries. Well, look, it was lovely talking to you. I know it is it's sort of an unhappy subject, but it's a beautiful conversation. Yeah. And when you can have a conversation like this and you can talk freely and openly, and you can talk to the community as well. We're very proud to have you on the program. So thank you very much. Was there anything you'd like to raise in the program as well?
No, thanks.
The last moments.
Thanks, Jeremy. I just appreciate your support.
Yep.
Thanks, Jeremy, and everyone get vaccinated.
Yeah. No worries. Donna?
Yep, I think the main message is get vaccinated and protect you and your community against meningococcal disease.